Okay, good evening, everyone. It's good to meet with you again as we gather together and going to study together precious truths from the Word of God, living truth, eternal truth, truth that will stand, the Word will stand when the world's on fire. And we thank God for His Word. It truly is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light unto our path. God gave us His Word. And we can count on His Word. We can stand on His Word. We can rely on His Word. We have faith in the Word of God. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I'm the teacher here of the Contemporary Bible Class of Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is my pastor. Anyone who has internet access or even a telephone can come to this class. It is not limited to anyone. To just Omaha people. Anyone who wants to study with us is welcome to study with us. We are currently studying the Gospel according to Luke. We started in chapter 1, and it's been a while ago when we started, but we go through the entire book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, going as fast as the Lord leads us or as slow as the Lord leads us. But He is our teacher. He is our guide. This evening, we will be continuing with Luke chapter 16. My goal today, and it is an ambitious goal for me, is for us to study and complete our study in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. So Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. I have other versions. I have many other versions of the Bible. And by the way, not all versions of the Bible are, quote, good versions. Someday, I don't know when, I will do some kind of talk on different versions of the Bible, but it will not be soon. So having said that, for classroom, I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. If you do not have a New King James Version, surely stay with us, you know. God's word is good. It can be accessed through the internet if you need a copy. Just download a copy from the internet of the New King James Bible. So this evening, Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13 is our study. If we have any first timers with us, we all welcome you. We're glad that you are here. So let's go to our Father in prayer. And then we'll continue on this February the 13th in the year 2022. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you, and every day and any time of the day is a time of thanksgiving, it's a time of praise, it's a time of gratitude, and it's a time to bow down before you. Most of us probably are not literally on our knees, but we do bow our heads, we bow our hearts in reverence to you. Lord God, the Almighty, we know that cherubim and seraphim and angels bow before you, giving you glory. And we know, Lord God, we too bow before you in our hearts and in our minds, in our attitude and in our spirits. We bow before you, a holy God. We come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have given us access to the Father through your blood. We praise your name. And now, Father, we thank you that the Spirit and the Word agree. And we ask you now, by your Spirit, to teach us your Word. We cannot understand it on our own. Thy Word is Spirit, and Thy Word is life. So we ask you, Spirit of the living God, to be our teacher. If there's anything that would hinder us from receiving from you, Lord God, we do pray that we would confess. If any sins need to be confessed, that we would confess those sins and turn from them. Anything that would hinder, we pray, dear Lord, forgive. We thank you for your word, and now we trust you to lead us and guide us and be our teacher. We pray for the absent part of us, for those who want to be with us, but they could not for whatever the reason. But they're still part of this class. We lift them up in prayer. We thank you that our sister Anne could be with us this evening. We give glory that you have been with her all the days of her life. And we give glory, Lord God, that you're with her still on her journey today. Continue to lead us all and strengthen us all, we pray. In Jesus' name, and we'll be careful to give thy name the praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good evening to those who have joined us. We are continuing now in our study of Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. We started this chapter several weeks ago, and we see in this chapter, I'm going to introduce the chapter or review somewhat, give some key points of the chapter. Chapter 16, we have found out that the theme of this chapter is about money, finances, handling money. Some handle money wisely, finances wisely, and others foolishly. We know this chapter is about money and finances because from the opening verse in verse 1, chapter 16, verse 1, it tells us that there was a certain rich man. And immediately, you know, people perked up when Jesus mentioned the rich man. And then it goes on, we find out in verse 14, and this is the middle of the chapter, in verse 14, well, we notice the last words of verse 13, and 13, I would say, is a key, quote, key verse of chapter 16. So verse 13 being a key verse, and I put key in quotes because all of God's word is key. But verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, money. That is a kingdom law. It stands forever. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. And so this chapter starts out in verse 1, talking about a rich man. Verse 13, letting us know every one of us have to choose. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve money? You can't serve both. And then we go to verse 14, and verse 14 tells us about these Pharisees. And the Pharisees, we've seen them all throughout. We've seen the Pharisees many times. But here they are again. They're still around. They're still listening to Jesus, which is a good thing. Jesus came to speak to the rich, to the poor, to those who wanted to hear him, to those who did not want to hear him, to those who rejected him, to those who received him. The word of the Lord is free, and God sends his word to all. It's up to everyone how they receive or if they reject his word. When we get to chapter 16, verse 14, the theme of money continues. Verse 14 says, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. So there's that theme still of money, but now we see these Pharisees, lovers of money. I'm sure their ears perked up as Jesus was talking about this money. And he's been talking about riches, actually, for the last few chapters in one way or another. Then we come on down to verse 19, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And here's another passage, a division in this chapter, where there was a certain rich man. Well, this is another rich man. Verse 1 told us about one rich man. Verse 1 says there was a certain rich man. But when we get down to verse 19, here's another certain rich man. And then the chapter ends talking about this certain rich man. But we also notice in chapter 16, verse 22, my eyes fall on verse 20, there was a certain beggar, still talking about money. It's just two ends of the spectrum. One is rich and one is a beggar, but still talking about money. And you'll see in verse 22, there's those words again, verse 22, it was that the beggar died. Then you go on down that same verse, the rich man also died. So you see the great equalizer there. Then we come down to the end of the chapter. The end of the chapter is a summary verses. They are summary verses, and we still can't forget why Jesus came. Jesus came to call men to repentance. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. That's why he can talk to all of humanity, to the rich, to the poor, every class of people. Jesus talks to them all. And it comes on down in chapter 16, verse 30. And here's that major key word again, that's all throughout the Bible, repent. Only in the Old Testament, it doesn't usually say repent. It uses the word turn, turn, turn. And over again in the Old Testament, you'll see return, turn, and that's repentance. Here in Luke chapter 16, verse 30, it reads, and he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. So there's that word repent that we saw over and over again in chapter 15. Repent. And we know that the prodigal son repented. The prodigal son repented. And there are three illustrations of repentance in Luke chapter 15. So here in Luke chapter 16, summing it up, it says, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he, that being Father Abraham, but he said to him, if they do not hear Moses, in other words, if they don't hear the word of God, if they don't hear the preach, proclaim, written word of God, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, that's the word of God, if they don't hear the word Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. In other words, God's word needs no help. God's word's going to stand. We will be judged on this word of God. If someone does not receive the pure, unadulterated word of God, they will not believe, even though someone rose from the dead. And we know our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we know there are many who do not believe, and some believe, but they do not receive. And there is a difference. You can believe with the mouth, but you have to confess. You can confess with the mouth, but you got to believe this thing in your heart. And so that is an introduction, an overview. We took our airplane and we went on a ride and we overviewed. Some of you have been on airplanes, helicopter tours and all of that, and you just glide over the land. And we just did that with Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, as we have found out, the theme is about money, finances, how to properly handle and not handle. Key verse 13, and there are two hearers, two distinct hearers, H-E-A-R-E-R-S. You either receive the word or reject the word. When it's all said and done, it's all about, do you believe the word of God or do you reject the word of God? There are two groups of people in this chapter. There are the disciples, and the disciples, we know they were the ones who were drawing near to hear with a sincere heart. They were listening to the Lord. And then there's others that were there to hear, such as in verse 14, but they derided him. Their heart was not right. And as many that are around Jesus, they hear the word, they hear sermons. Some love sermons, but that does not necessarily equal out loving Jesus or loving the Lord. Some people love to just study the Bible, but many who study the Bible, and you can study it for all kinds of reasons and not know the Lord. But we are of that company. I assume all of us are of that group who want to hear the Lord from a sincere heart to obey and to worship him. He's calling all of us to repentance. And so now, with that introduction, let us read our passage. My goal is to cover chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. It's an ambitious goal. We will see how far we get this evening. I hope our readers are with us. I've asked Sister Carolyn Poindexter. She will be reading for us verses 1 through 4. Sister Lily Carther, verses 5 through 8. Brother Emmett Carther, if he's with us, verses 9 through 13. So I'm going to ask, when it's your turn, just unmute yourself and go ahead and read your passage. And so we'll begin now with Sister Carolyn Poindexter.
The parable of the unjust steward. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved to do that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.
Sister Carther?
Hurry up. All right, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. Verse 5.
He called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commented, and the unjust steward, because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light.
And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen. That was beautiful. We're patient with one another. So for whoever said, I'm sorry, that's okay. We got to be patient with one another. Thank you for the readers. Great, great job reading God's word. Now here in Luke chapter 16, as we go on, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And I encourage you study, for you all who are students of the Bible and really want to study the Bible. Other books are good, but the Bible is its best commentary. So make your concentration on studying the Bible actually reading the Bible itself. So having said that, and the Bible says comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, let us go to, and we have several scriptures I want to go to today. Let's go to, first of all, the book of Psalms. Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalm 49. But hold on to Luke, because Luke 16 is our home base. But let's go to Psalm 49. That's in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, the longest book in the Bible, Israel's hymn book and prayer book, Psalm 49. Okay, Psalm 49. Some of you have found it, others are still looking for it, but I'm going to go ahead because of time. Now, when we look at Psalm 49, and I'm going to encourage you to read that chapter on your own when you have the time. Psalm 49, my Bible gives an inscription. And Sister Carolyn, when she read her chapter this evening, some of you may have noticed she actually read a quote inscription that said the parable of the unjust steward. Well, those words are not actually the Bible. Those words were inserted as a heading, as a caption by the author, not the authors, by the publishers. And some of those inscriptions do carry on, such as most of the Psalms, like Psalm 49, your Bibles may have written. So you see Psalm 49, and Psalm 49 starts out, hear this, all peoples. But right above that, in a lot of your Bibles, is what is called an inscription. And it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Well, that's not actually the Bible, it's an inscription. So if you're asked to read a particular chapter or something, that's just by the way. Well, this chapter here, my Bible does have a description, and my Bible says, riches cannot redeem men. That's the particular caption that the publishers of this book, of this Bible put, is riches cannot redeem men. But anyway, Psalm 49 is all about riches again. And as I've said, I encourage you to read the entire chapter, but you can see in verse 1, Psalm 49, hear this, all peoples, and that big word all is all, hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both high, low and high, rich and poor. And so the word of God is calling all men everywhere now, hear the word of the Lord. But he specializes, specifically calls out certain categories of people, certain categories of society. And it is here, verse 2, rich and poor. And then it goes on, and you notice in verse 6, you see the word wealth, those who trust in their wealth. And that's what's going to be happening with the steward in Luke chapter 16, and also what will be happening with the rich man in Luke chapter 16 that died. They were trusting in their wealth. So Psalm 49 here, verse 6, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches. So this is about rich people. Rich people, monetarily value, they have a lot of money. So we're talking about the rich. Now I'm bringing this out because Luke chapter 16, that's what got the Pharisees' attention. They were lovers of money. And then there was rich people. And we know in chapter 15 of Luke, where Jesus went, I think it was chapter 14, Jesus went to that rich Pharisee's house and ate dinner with them. And so that's been following on throughout Luke as well. Here in Psalm 49, talking about riches, and then it goes on, and it goes on to say, verse 10, Psalm 49, verse 10, for he sees wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Now, that's the perspective that we are to have on riches and the finances that God has given to us. We have to keep an eternal perspective on earthly riches, even though you may not be, quote, rich, but all earthly finances, we all have to leave them. And so you have to think from an eternal and live from an eternal perspective of how you handle finances. Now, God's given us finances. We need them to live. Of course we do. And we need them, and we need them to help others and for all kinds of reasons. But we still don't want to build our hope and build our life and build our trust on money. And that's what was going on in Luke chapter 16. We're here still in Psalm 49. Let's go on down. Verse 10 says, "And so they die and leave their wealth to others." But let's go on down to verse 16, Psalm 49, verse 16. And this now says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." We all understand that. You know, when you die, you ain't taking no U-Haul truck or anything else with you. You don't even take your own body when you die. So this saying, you can't take anything with you. Psalm 49, verse 16, "Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not ascend after him." So we don't want to hold on to these earthly riches or any earthly glory. We thank God for what he's blessed with, but we sure don't want to anchor our life on that. Verse 18, while he lives, he blesses himself. You know, like the rich man that we read about in Luke 14 or 15, where he had those riches and he had so much stuff. He said, "I'm going to build bigger barns. I got so much stuff. My house, my barns can't even handle what I have." Well, that's that man. So here in Psalm, verse 16, "Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself." And you see how arrogant some rich people, not everybody, but some, how arrogant they become because of their riches. They are trusting in riches so much to the point, verse 18, they bless themselves. "For men will praise you when you do well for yourself." Now see, this is the man that we're going to read about, the unjust steward. He was doing well for himself. He did it by trickery. He got wealthy by shrewdness. He got wealthy by manipulation, but people still will praise him. And we know of people even in our day, they're rich, but they got rich through lies, manipulation, crooked, and people will praise them. They'll still praise them because of their status, regardless they got it unjustly, but they're rich and people will praise them for their wealth. And so that's what's going on here in Psalm 49, verse 18. "Though while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well for yourself, even if you got it by crooked means." And everybody know you got it crooked. There will be a whole lot of people who will still praise you. "He shall," verse 19, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light." Now, this is after death, after the grave. You can have all those riches, on this side of glory, but they cannot follow you into eternity. So even though the rich man and the unjust steward is going to end up with many these riches, they can't take them with them. And then verse 19, you know their eternal destiny. Riches can't save your soul. So verse 19, he shall go, that's death, to the generation of his fathers. And here's hell. This would be one description of hell, one description of being separated from God. Look at this description. Just one description of hell is in verse 19, where it says, they shall never see light. Now, that is a horrible description. I can't even imagine what that is, but it is everlasting. It is eternal damnation. They shall never see light. So you know what that is. That's eternal separation from God, who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so riches, what do you want? Do you want to serve riches and be rich and die and end up in hell? Or do you want to, God may bless you with riches, praise the Lord, but serve God with your finances. Serve God with all that we have. And so verse 20 ends by saying, a man who is in honor yet does not understand. That's a fool. He's got honor. He has riches, but he does not have understanding. And Solomon said, with all you're getting, get understanding. So verse 20 ends by saying, a man who is in honor, people may praise you down here, but if you die without Jesus, you may be in honor down here, but yet does not understand, that's the equal sign there, is like the beast. When it says is like the beast, this is what he's like when it's all said and done. Is like the beast. And look at that last word, that perish. That's eternal damnation. And so we go back to Luke chapter 16 now, and we see that we have to keep an eternal perspective on earthly things, and especially because we're in this chapter, especially finances. So in chapter 16, let's look at these verses. Now, I have my clock tonight. I've got all kind of clocks. So I have a timer I didn't set, but we're doing good with our time. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and the disciples are present. And those are those followers of Christ that Jesus is training. He is training his disciples, and they are with him. They have been with him, because that's what a disciple is, a follower of Jesus. And so Jesus talking to the disciple, but we always keep in mind there's also the Pharisee. They're right there too. Jesus is talking to both groups, but he's talking here in verse 1. It calls out the disciples, but both are listening. Both are listening. And so when Jesus says there was a certain rich man, well, you can imagine the Pharisees, they perked up at that. They said, oh, this is interesting. He's talking about the kind of people we like, the rich man. There was a certain rich man, and this rich man had a steward. So we got the picture here. There's this master, the owner. He has a steward, and a steward is one who has been entrusted with the goods of another. And so we're going to think of this steward as like a manager, and he's under the rich man. But the steward is the one who is managing the land, managing the crops, managing the wheat, managing the books. We're going to also see he was managing some books. And so in verse 16, this certain rich man, he had this steward. But what happened? Here comes a problem here. Here comes a shadow here. Here comes some darkness here. It says, and an accusation was brought to him. So you know what an accusation is. Somebody accused him of doing something wrong. he was accused of doing something wrong. This steward. Now, he had people fooled for a while, but sin, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Sin's going to come out one way or the other. And so even this man, he had a good cover for a while, but sin's going to sneak up. That's what sin does. It's going to show up and show out. And the objective is to kill you, steal from you, destroy from you. That's what sin is out to do, kill, steal, destroy. And so this man, an accusation was brought to him that he had wasted his master's goods. And so now he's been accused of stealing and wasting his master's goods. Now you notice when you've been reading this passage, I probably some through the week, you notice there was no pushback. He didn't say, I didn't do that. That's wrong. You lying on me. I ain't stole nothing. He didn't say that. What he did was, after he was accused of stealing and wasting his master's goods, verse 2 says, so this is coming to the head man. So he called him. That's the rich man. He called his employer, that big boss. He called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Because it's going to get out one way or another. It's coming out. Sin is coming out one way or the other. And so verse 2, it got out. And the master heard that so-and-so was stealing from him. And so verse 2 said, well, that master, he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? In other words, give an account. Tell me, is this true? This is your time to say, no, you're lying. No, they're lying. This is your time to say that. What is this I hear about you? So that was his time. And then he says, give an account. Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. No pushback. Why come there was no pushback? Because the man was guilty. And because he was guilty, he couldn't say that's not true. He had been found out by his sin. And so the rich man said, give an account of your stewardship. And now he's losing his job. Now he's being fired. He's being fired. He's losing his job. And along with losing his job is everything that comes along with the job. Because it says in verse 2, give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? Now he's thinking now, thinking. I've been thinking. And he's been thinking, and it ain't taking him too long to think, because we know he got a crooked mind from the beginning. He's crooked and bent all through and through already. So it didn't take him long to come up with this scheme. So verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? Well, the answer, the correct answer would be repent. The correct answer would be confess your sin. The correct answer would say, Master, I'm sorry. But instead, what did he do? He did just like Adam and Eve in the garden. He sewed together and he manufactured a fig leaf. And he's going to cover himself up now with this fig leaf, covering up his shame, covering up his sin with this fig leaf of a scheme. He's scheming. So what shall I do? Didn't even enter his mind, confess your sin. And if it did enter, he sure hurried up and got that out of his mind. What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. Now you notice the man was fired because the stewardship was being taken away from him. But evidently there's still a little time there. This man still has a little time because we're going to see him getting the books together. And it's kind of like you're fired, but 1 week from the day, I want you to turn the records and the books over to a new manager. I want you to do that. So this man, even though he's been fired, he still has some access. He can still some kind of way work with things. So verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? And that's a question that comes to all of us. What are we going to do? Are we going to come clean with God? Are we going to cover up our sin? In life, we've done both. We've done both if we're honest with ourselves in one way or another. For my master is taking. See, that's the threat for him. He's losing what he had. Now he's losing. He thought he'd been gaining, but now it's subtraction. My master is taking the stewardship away from me. And when he takes the stewardship away from him, that means his reputation, his honor. He's been the big boss man. He's been walking around jangling the keys, and he's been walking around giving evaluations to people. He's been that head man. But now he's losing all that. And verse 3 says, my master is taking. So that's, like I said, he has a little time in there, but he's been fired. Taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. In other words, I ain't been out nowhere with a shovel. I don't have any calluses on my hands. I've never done hard labor. He's going through, what shall I do? Well, I can't dig. I've been the big boss man. I ain't getting ready to get no hard, dirty work now. So I can't do that. So now we see his pride. That's his pride. And he's got to cover up his status, his name, his pride, his reputation. I can't be digging nothing. I am ashamed to beg. He ain't gonna beg. So he's not humbling himself at all. I have resolved what to do. And it's like, bing, the light bulb went out. I know what I'll do. So he comes up with a scheme. I have resolved what to do. That when I am put out, see, that's that time. He had a little time. That when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he's coming up with a scheme so he can get, even though he's losing, he's going to weasel his way, scheme his way, trick his way, shrewd his way into their house. I'm losing, but I got to hold on to my reputation. So I'm going to come up with a scheme that they will like me, that I will still have honor. They will still receive me. And that's important. They may receive me, even though I'm a liar and a cheat. I'm going to come up with this scheme where people will receive me into their houses. And that's just like the devil. That's what he's out to do, to get us to receive him into our houses. And he's always plotting, always scheming out to take from us. Verse 5. So he called. This is a man putting the plan into action now. He called every one of his master's debtors to him. So that's that time frame he had in there to get the books together. So verse 5, he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. See, he's swindling. He's swindling now. He's making a deal. Let's make a deal. He's making a deal. How much do you owe? I owe 100 measures of oil. Now, the man knew what he owed. He knew he owed 100 measures of oil. He said it. That's what he owed. 100 measures of oil. But here comes this trickery. Here comes this shrewd man. Here comes the devil. So he said, take your bill. Sit down quickly. Rush, 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 rush. You know, Satan will rush you into things now. Sit down quickly and write 50. So what did he do? He took half off the bill. The man owed 100 measures, but the man gave him a good deal. He said, sit down quickly and write 50. So that means we got to be on it too. We got to be thinking ahead. We got to be want to be right from the beginning, because Satan will offer a deal. And that's what he did. He offered a deal. And what's the reason? Because he wants to get into their houses. He's trying to keep his reputation, keep his job, not his job, but keep his status. I'm the rich man, and he intends on staying rich by schemes and manipulation. So he schemes and comes up with a deal with the man. The man knows, now notice this, the man knows he owes 100 measures of oil. And the man bargained with him, and he said, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. So the assumption is that's exactly what that man did. And now he's knitted into the scheme. He fell into that trap. He bought that lie. He knew he owed 100, but he sat down quickly because he was rushing. And it was a good deal. You know, if I was told, sit down quickly, Velma, and just write half off on what you owe on your bills, that's a good deal. And you may be tempted to take it. And that's what the man did. Verse 7, then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take your bill and write 80. So he gave him 20% off. But he's swindling. That's what he's doing. And not only is he swindling, he is binding himself to these people, getting into their houses. Now he did them a favor, so they got to do him a favor. And see, that's the thing with sin. It grows and it entraps you. And now these people who knew what they owed, that they knew what they owed, but they bought into the scheme. And now they're entrapped as well. And so verse 18, here's a conclusion. Verse 18 says, so the master, this is that the rich man from the beginning. So the master, he commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. Let me stop there. So the master, that's that rich man who fired the man, but he commended him. He commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. And this is part of the text where it'll make you scratch your head and say, is God telling us to do what's wrong? Is God telling us to swindle and make deals? Is God telling us to trick people? No, he's not telling us that. But what he is telling us is that shrewdness will work up to a degree. Shrewdness will work. And this man was a smart, wicked man. He was a smart crook. And he was so smart that he got, you know, he got in those people's houses. He tricked them. He deceived them. He got the bill written off. He settled the books with the master. And then verse 8, the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. And then it comes on and it says, the sons of this world, and that would be people of this world. The sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And that means there are some, it means more. Of course, it means more, but this is what God has given to me, that the sons of this world, some are very smart in their wickedness, very smart in sin, very smart in putting schemes together. And they are smart and smarter than some Christians in scheming. And that's why we have to seek God first, seek righteousness, stay humble, do what is good, seek wisdom, be smart, think ahead. Don't be swept off our feet by fast talkers. And fast talkers come in every level. There's all kind of fast talkers. They come all kinds of ways. And verse 9, And I say to you, now the passage is swindling, as it were. I don't mean swindling in a negative way. I mean, it's now Jesus has told us about these men, and now he's making it relative, I'll say, to us. I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fall or fail, and other versions, and this I had to, you know, this was not the easiest text in the world, that when you fail, but I find it reads better, and my Bible has a little notation there, that when it fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now, I'm not going to go deeply into that verse, because I must admit, I don't fully, God hasn't given me really to say too much on it. But it says, be wise with your money, use your money, but make that money work for you in an eternal way, that we may be received, because at the end, you notice verse 9 says that they may receive you. And see, that's what that verse 4, this swindler, he was out to be received into their houses. He's trying to get into their houses, receive you into their houses. But verse 9, there's another, receive you into an everlasting home. We want to be received into God's eternal home. We want to be received into that home where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now Jesus, now verse 10, and he's by no means commending swindling and being crooked, lying and manipulation. The Bible's not telling us to do that at all. It is saying be smart. It is saying be wise. It is saying even be shrewd. Be shrewd in your dealings from a godly perspective, but be smart and be wise. Verse 10. He who is faithful. Now, these are spiritual laws. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. That's a law. If you're faithful in what is least, you'll be faithful in much. So whatever God's given you, rich or poor, or anything in between, whatever God's given you, be faithful with it. Do right with it. And if you're faithful in little, you'll also be faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So that means if you're alive with 5 cents, you're going to be alive with 500. So if you unjust, you just unjust. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the righteous mammon, you know, if we're not using what God has given us if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's the things of this earth. And we're stewards of the things that God has given us of this earth. So we need to handle our houses, our homes, our belongings, our money, all of that. We need to handle it as stewards. God has given this to me to manage. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And that's those eternal riches. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let's go to several scriptures quickly here. We see this man had a plan, and Jesus commended the plan. He was a wise, smart man. He was a smart man. He ended up lost. This man ended up lost as far as this passage goes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 quickly, because we're in our last 5 minutes, and I have three verses I want to go to. So if you can't turn to it quickly, just write it down. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And it reads, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. This is to all of us. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So that's not saying don't have a bank account. It's not saying that at all. It's saying don't let that be your heart. Don't let those things be your God. Let's also go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm trying to turn to it. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And it reads, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. And then our final scripture I want to go to is Revelation chapter 18. And this is the final end of those who serve riches. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And I encourage you to read this chapter as well. Revelation chapter 18. And this is the doom, the eternal doom of those who worship riches. Revelation chapter 18, starting at verse 9. Revelation chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. And this is the doom of Babylon. And this big study and teaching we could do on Babylon. But for now, let's read Revelation 18, beginning at verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of ivory, every kind of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense, oil, and it goes on down. Verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, that was clothed in fine linen. Now that's going to fit in with Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Where am I? Verse 16. Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearl, in 1 hour, such great riches come to nothing. And you all read the rest of that on your own. Blessed God, our Father, we thank you for eternal riches in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that our hope is built on Jesus Christ and his blood and nothing less. We trust in him. Thank you that our riches are in Christ. Help us to seek those things which are above, which are eternal, everlasting, and truly give life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We praise you and ask you to be with us through the week. Keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
7:30.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
The bell. God bless everyone.
Amen.
God bless you all.
God bless you all. Have a good week. Who is Sam? Sister Sandra.
This is Marcia. Can you give me that verse in Colossians?
Colossians chapter 3, verse 1.
Thank you.
And you may want to read the verses afterwards, but I read 3:1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see everyone. I pray you have a good week. I'll be praying for you. Keep me in prayer.
Yes.
In prayer.
Got you all.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God be with you till we meet again.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
That's what the kids say.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, Sister Sadie, and all.